Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer, Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
All right, this is a really good question from an email. A listener writes me and says this: how do you forget the sins of your past life even though you went to confession and you know Christ is merciful and the church tells you that Christ forgets them? And this person says, I suffer mentally because of my past sins and worry about if I remembered to confess them all. Christ suffered terribly for what I once did, and I know there is nothing I can do to erase them. Maybe remembering my sins is a penance that Christ wants me to remember. Okay, and I wrote a few thoughts back to this individual, but I thought this would be something good to reflect on, especially during this time of repentance, of conversion, this time of Lent that the church gives to us. Because many people, in fact, struggle with this particular thing. And I would say, especially when it comes to very, very grave sins, sins against human life, sins where an extreme injustice took place, sins sometimes even maybe not as grave as other sins, but where that compunction sets in our heart, right? That realization of how bad it is. If you read St. Augustine's Confessions, you'll hear about this incident that he recalls when he was a young man and he went to a pear tree, you know, with pears growing on it. And he just decided to tear down all the pears off of this pear tree. It was just for fun, right? But it was a pear tree that belonged to another individual, a person who ate the pears. And I don't know if the person depended on them and sold the pears or what. But he shares how he realized later what a terrible sin it was. Just senseless, right? Senseless injustice. For there was no justification for it except for his own entertainment. And somebody else suffered because of it. You know, when that compunction sets in and we start to feel guilty for what we've done, it can be a very painful experience. It can also be an important experience. Do you know, it's not a good thing to go through life never feeling guilt. It's not a good thing to go through life never without remorse. In fact, that's a psychological problem, right? If we're living in our lives and we don't have remorse and don't feel remorse in our lives. So remorse and guilt should lead us to repentance and conversion. But what do you do when you can't get over the fact that these sins are very serious and have hurt you or maybe another person so deeply that while you might know intellectually that God has forgiven you, it's just not moving from your head to your heart. It's not taking root in your experience. Okay, what do you do? First of all, I think we have to remember who God is. God is love, St. John says, right? God is love. And God's love is manifest to us in his mercy. St. Faustina says that Jesus said to St. Faustina that God's greatest attribute is his mercy. His greatest attribute, even greater than his justice, is his mercy. God wants to forgive you so badly. God wants you to not experience separation from him so badly that he sent his only son to die on the cross. And he would have done it only for you. He would have done it only for you. Of course, he did it for every single one of us. And the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has infinite value. And so it can be applied to all of us, the greatest of sinners, and still there is grace that abounds. So the first realization I think we have to remind ourselves of is that God is mercy itself. And if we think that somehow there's some sin that's so grave that God's mercy can't cover it, that God's mercy can't handle it, then that's just theologically wrong. St. Faustina would use the vision of, I'm sorry, Jesus again, communicating to St. Faustina, would say, your sins are like a drop in the ocean of my mercy, like a tiny little drop inside of this ocean of mercy. It's unfathomable to us how gracious, how grand, how generous God's mercy is. Sometimes, though, we find ourselves struggling with scrupulosity. We find ourselves struggling with our own guilt to such a degree that we just don't believe it, right? I see this happen in particular with the sin of abortion. A sin against defenseless, innocent human life. And those who come to realize how terrible, how grave of a sin that was, have a really hard time moving on from that. Even after they've received sacramental confession, even after they've maybe mentioned it in confession many times over the course of years, they can't get rid of the guilt that they feel. That's why there's support for those who have gone through this, such as Rachel's Vineyard. There are healing ministries out there to help people because we realize how deep that guilt can cut. So what do you do? Is the solution then to forget about those sins, as this individual asks in the email to me? Do you just forget about it? And how do we do that? Well, this is an important thing. Where in Scripture does it say forget those sins? Where in the Catechism does it say when you go to confession, those sins will be forgotten in your mind, right? God, of course, we could say he forgets those sins in a anthropomorphic way, applying to God our understanding of memory, but of course that would not suffice to explain who God is and his knowledge of all times and all moments. See, the goal of confession and the goal of forgiveness in your life is not just to simply forget those sins, but to submit those sins to the mercy of God. You might hang on to those sins in your memory. You might remember those grave sins that have plagued you for a long time. But as soon as you begin to immerse them in God's mercy, you start to realize that you're not a slave to that guilt anymore. You're not a slave to the effects of those sins anymore. And if you're still feeling enslaved to those sins, to me it's an indicator you haven't yet opened up that font of God's mercy in the sacrament. You haven't yet realized how merciful God is. Of course, God wants you to feel sorrow for your sins. And of course, he wants us to recognize sometimes even how grave those sins were. But he also wants healing for your heart. He also wants you to realize, now this person asks, right, maybe remembering my sins is a penance that Christ wants me to remember them. I guess I could understand that to a certain degree, right? From this, when it has a healing effect on you, God doesn't want you to just continually suffer through life unless it leads you to become a great saint, right? God isn't out there looking out to try and inflict pain and suffering on you because you committed some grave sin in the past. No, he might allow you to suffer and he might allow you to go through great pain, but it's only to lead you to a deeper relationship with him, to lead you to greater holiness. So while I would say that, yeah, sometimes when we think about our sins and we recognize that remorse and sorrow that's there, that can be a penance. It can have an effect on us that's a healing effect because it will remind me, I better not sin like that again in the future. I better not do that again. And that hurt me so badly. It affected me so deeply. And it harmed me so personally that I'm not going to ever, ever turn back. And for that reason, God will oftentimes allow us to remember our sins. God will oftentimes allow our sins to remain in our hearts and our minds. But he wants us to look at those sins through his mercy, right? Not to carry them around as a weight, as if we're the ones carrying the cross of Christ. We're not. We're the ones that have to carry the cross of our own burdens. That's true. But Christ takes our sins and was crucified to the cross with those sins for you and for me. And he wants us to experience freedom in him. Okay, all of this to say, I think, in my opinion, forgetting your sins is not a reasonable goal for you to do. Unless you remember that movie. What was the name of that movie with Will Smith and that other guy? The Alien movie. It's the Alien movie that, James, you helped me. No, not Independence Day. This just came to my mind. It's the one where aliens are masquerading. Men in Black, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Do you remember that device they had? It looked like a little pen, and they'd point that at people's eyes, and they'd click a button, the light would come, and they'd forget a certain... That's not what happens in confession. I'm sorry. That was a long way to tell you with a silly analogy. That confession doesn't work like that. We don't have like this device that will erase your memory for a certain time or erase some experience. And that's just not what we should expect. To me, it's unreasonable to expect that. And it's not even what God wants from us anyway. Instead, what God wants us to do is to live in the present moment, to recognize in his love and in his mercy that there is healing from these challenges that we've gone through, from these offenses that we've committed, and he wants us truly, truly to live anew. Actually, today's gospel is an important, I think, follow-through with this idea, right? Luke 6. Jesus says to his disciples, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. It's very similar to what Jesus will say in St. Matthew's Gospel, be perfect, just as your Father is perfect. Be merciful, as your Father is merciful. See, God is so merciful towards you. He will forgive every single one of your sins. But with that mercy also comes the invitation, the challenge to share that same mercy with others, to be an instrument of that mercy towards others. Jesus says, stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. In fact, it's the measure in which we forgive. It's the measure in which we show mercy. It's the measure in which we show love and compassion to others that God's love and mercy will be meted out to us. Are we willing to show the same mercy to others that we expect from God? Are we willing to be as gracious and generous towards others as God is towards me, towards you? Here's the challenge of Lent, I think. This is where the rubber meets the road, where we realize, wow, I really need to go to confession. I really need to entrust my sins to God's mercy. I really need to fight against the scruples in my life and accept and embrace God's mercy and leave my sins in the past, entrust them to God's love and mercy in the past. But then I need to also be merciful in the present moment. And I need to forgive in the same way that Jesus has forgiven me. I need to stop judging, because I really, really hope that God will be merciful when he judges me. I really hope that God will judge me leniently, or at least mercifully. And if that's the case, I really need to take Jesus at his word today, to stop judging so that I will not be judged, to stop condemning so that I will not be condemned, to forgive so that I will be forgiven. And I would say the same for you, right? Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. If you give generously and mercifully, God will be so generous and merciful towards you, right? It's the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of this Lenten season. So take advantage of how merciful and loving God is towards you, okay? Until tomorrow, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned for the Family Rosary Across America coming up next.